This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. Joining me just outside of Los Angeles in the beautiful Santa Clarita Valley, our lovely co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. And what have you got in your coffee cup?
I've got hot black coffee, just the way I like it. How about you?
Oh, mine has to have that dollop of whipped cream.
I've never tried that. I might when I'm ready for dessert sometime. But anyway, we have beautiful weather back here in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. It is a perfect fall day, and it just makes you excited. And I am really, really excited about the show that we have today. Let's tell folks who we have joining us.
Absolutely. We start off with Susie Miles, and we'll be talking about her new CD, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas, and listening to great music. And then we're joined by Reggie Little, and we'll be talking about the Loretta Lynn Ranch and an upcoming chuck wagon race.
All right. This is going to be a lot of fun with a lot of great music and some great information. And so we're going to get right to that in just a moment, but we remind you that the Campfire Cafe is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And getting ready to open this weekend is the Christmas Shop. And so a great place to shop for all your music and horse gear and Western tack and Western clothes you'll find in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in that saddle, and we come back. We're going to be swinging with Susie Blue on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Crazy cause I love you, crazy cause I care, crazy cause when I get home I find that you're not there. I'm going crazy, crazy, crazy over you, crazy, crazy, and I don't know what I'll do. I'm running round in circles, and I don't know what to do. I'm running round in circles, and it's all because of you. I'm going crazy, crazy, crazy over you, crazy, crazy, and I don't know what I'll do. Might because I'm lonesome, might because I'm blue, might because I love you makes me crazy over you. I'm going crazy, crazy, crazy over you, crazy, crazy, and I don't know what I'll do. Like a needle in a haystack, like a desert grain of sand, you're lost and gone forever while I'll never understand. I'm going crazy, crazy, crazy over you, crazy, crazy, and I don't know what I'll do.
That's Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas and Crazy Cause I Love You. And it's that time of the show that everybody looks forward to. Bobby Jean, are you ready?
Of course. Joining us this morning is Western swing performer Susie Miles, also known as Susie Blue. Her newest recording project, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas, is taking the airwaves by storm. A multi-talented performer with a background in all musical genres, including opera, gospel, and country, Susie is best known for her gorgeous jazz vocals. She breaks new ground with her interpretations of classic Western swing tunes from Cyndi Walker, Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, and Spade Cooley, among others. Influenced by the vocal stylings of Kay Starr, Patsy Cline, Peggy Lee, and Mary Ford, Susie Miles grabs each of these songs and performs them in a fresh, authentic way, breathing life into them and making them sound brand new. This new CD project is being hailed by reviewers with praises like, Solitaire Miles, also known as Susie Blue, has a voice that makes you think she's opened a hole in the fabric of time and stepped right out of 1939. But my favorite is from reviewer Mark Myers of Jazz Wax. She sings Western swing material with warm highs and holds her lows neatly. There's a jazziness about Miles' phrasing, but she holds fast to a sound reminiscent of roadside bars where just three people are left near closing at the pinball machine. Solid accompaniment by jazz-influenced sax, fiddle, guitar, slide guitar, piano, bass, and drums. I'm a Fool to Care says it all. Direct from Chicago, please welcome to Campfire Cafe a singer whose unique voice has been described as a smoky mixture of salt and molasses with the cool intimacy of a gin martini, Susie Miles.
Well, Susie, welcome to the show.
Wow. I'm just flabbergasted. Thank you, Bobby Jean. Gary told me that you wrote the most wonderful intros, and I'm very honored by that. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. There is so much wonderful things written about you. It's hard to figure out, you know, where to start.
I've been very lucky with the new album. We've gotten some really wonderful reviews.
Well, it was all exciting except the salt and the molasses. I was trying to wrap my mind around that one, and I just didn't quite get there. But I could appreciate the martinis, so that was okay. But, hey, let's kind of clear some things up for just a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about how you got started in music. But you're our Solitaire Miles. And tell us the story about Susie and how that came about.
Well, my family comes on the one side of the family from France, and on the other side, they herald from Eastern Europe, like Lithuania and Poland and Russia. And my parents were young when they got hitched and had me. They were still maybe 19 or 20 years old, and it was in the late 60s, and, you know, everybody was groovy. And they'd found out that one of my ancestors, my great-great-grandmother's name was Solitaire, and she came from France. So they thought, wow, what a groovy name. Little did they know it was going to be really hard to grow up with that name, you know. But the Russian side of the family, you know, they couldn't really pronounce it. Some of them didn't speak English. And so they started calling me Susie. My Russian great-grandmother thought that suited me better. And so I grew up being called both Solitaire and Susie. Solitaire is my legal name. It's on my birth certificate. So, but I answer to both.
All right. Well, for this show, we'll just say Susie. I'm kind of like your Russian grandmama. So
that's fine. I love the nickname. It's what my family calls me, and I really enjoy the fact that folks are calling me Susie now. I, you know, when I started this Western swing group about a year ago, I thought, well, I've been Solitaire Miles as a jazz singer for 20 years. I want to become a new person now that I'm singing this new music, and that's why I brought the Susie in.
Well, I love it and love the name of the group, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit because that's kind of cute too. But I think probably today, Susie, we're introducing you not only to a new audience of our listeners around the world, but also a lot of our Western music people and fans that are listening. And tell us a little bit about your family's background and your background in music.
Well, thank you for asking. My family is a very musical family. On the one side, my grandmother was a swing singer, a big band singer in the late 30s and the early 40s. And I grew up in Erie, Pennsylvania, which is on Lake Erie at that tip of Pennsylvania between Cleveland and Buffalo. And so my grandmother played around that area a lot in the 1940s, and she played piano. And her brothers and sisters all performed, and they sang and played instruments too. So we were very musical in our family, and my grandma raised me up from a little thing to play piano and guitar and bass, and I learned saxophone and drums. I don't play anything as well as I sing, but I did learn a lot about music, and she always wanted me to sing jazz. When I was, you know, 2 or 3 years old, I was hearing my grandma sing Billie Holiday songs at the piano, and she, you know, taught me Mairzy Dotes and Dozy Dotes right away.
Right.
And then some of the Billie Holiday songs we got started on. And although her husband, my grandpa, was a truck driver, and he used to love old country music, and Lefty Frizzell was one of his favorites. So I heard a lot of the old country from the 50s and the 60s playing in the house as well when grandma wasn't playing the swing. And my aunt, her daughter, was actually a country folk singer in the 70s, and so I was exposed to both genres of music. My grandma was really pushy about the jazz, though, and so I pursued that originally. But I've always had a love for Western music, and neither of my grandparents are with us now, but I know that they're probably both happy that I've done them both.
Well, that's pretty great. And, you know, as we go through today and we listen to some of your music, I think people are going to say, well, she sounds a little jazz, she sounds a little Western, she sounds a little country, but she certainly sounds swinging. And what a great way to grow up with such a mixture of musical genres to be exposed to. That's just really nice.
I was very lucky.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we are going, as I said, we're going to play a lot of your music today. And one of the joys that I have is going through and listening to music that comes in and saying, okay, which do we use and which are we going to have to leave out? And you made it really, really difficult today to do that. I couldn't decide what to leave out. But there is one song from the CD that is not a classic, and that's the one called The Blue Lonelies. Can you tell us about that one?
Oh, yes, that is our original on the CD, and we were so excited and honored when two wonderful songwriters from Nashville offered it up to us, David Olney and Gwil Owen, who I met through another wonderful singer, Tony Price. And they had sent a couple of tunes up to me and said, you know, give them a go. And I really like The Blue Lonelies because it had that opportunity for the Patsy Cline glissando, you know, the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun. They're wonderful songwriters, and I recorded another tune they did called Anything, but that's not on the album. That's more of a standard country song, I think. And we were just so thrilled to have the opportunity to record one of their tunes.
Well, it is a great song, and I'm going to tell you, when you listen to a lot of music and you go through and you listen to a CD and then you get up in the morning and you're humming one of the songs, you know it was good. And this is one of those. I think this is going to be a hit for you, but this is called The Blue Lonelies, and that is from Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. We're going to be back and talk more with Susie in just a moment on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
When the night is dark and cold, and I feel so small, that's the time I miss you most of all. I got the blue lonelies, just for you. I got the blue lonely, blue lonely. Oh, it's you. that lonesome whistle call, and I know my tears will start to fall, 'cause it's been so long since you held me tight. Memories so strong, they keep me up at night.
Almost amazing that I didn't get up singing Cigarette and Coffee Blues, because we're going to do that one a little bit later.
Well, I know, I actually was thinking about that myself.
Yeah.
Hey, Susie, could you do us a favor? I know we've got an audience that is probably very familiar with Western Swing, but just in case they're not, can you talk a little bit about Western Swing and how it differs from standard swing, or just a little bit about its background?
Well, thank you. I'm quite a nerd when it comes to music history, and I always love to talk about it, so thank you. Coming from a jazz background and still working part-time as a jazz singer, a lot of my jazz fans ask me, you know, how can you do this material? How does it tie in to who you are? And I always like to talk about the history of Western swing. Now, back in the 1930s, probably about 1935, 1937, Benny Goodman came out with that big band swing sound. Back then, in those days, there weren't big syndicated radio shows that went across the country. There were regional shows in different areas of the country. In fact, we had a big one here in Chicago, the WLS Barn Dance, which started in the late 1920s. And a few of the stations around here on the prairie picked it up, but you didn't have the big radio shows spreading the music fads the way you do now. So back in the late 30s, when Benny Goodman was traveling the country with his big band, spreading, you know, the thing that was swing, it was all new to everybody, every region of the country picked up swing because it was the big sound. And they kind of colloquialized it, or they brought it into their own local flavor. So when Benny took swing to New York City, it became New York swing. When he was in Chicago, it was Chicago swing. When it was in Los Angeles, it became West Coast swing. And when he went down to Texas and Oklahoma, it became Texas swing. So that's where Western swing really got its start, when the folks who were playing the local music, the folk music or the Western music, adapted the swing, which was the huge, humongous rage in the late 30s. That's when Western swing started. And you had famous bands like Milton Brown and his musical Brownies, and Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, and a lot of folks picking it up and really swinging. One of my favorite songwriters was a woman named Cindy Walker. She was the first woman put into the Country Music Hall of Fame for her songwriting. And she started writing music in the 1930s. In fact, she wrote a song for Bing Crosby when she was only 16 years old.
Oh,
and
wow.
She was very influenced by swing at the time in the 1930s and the early 1940s. And she put out a record herself. I think it was 1944, of wonderful swing songs. She wrote the song, I Hear You Talkin', which was popularized by Bob Wills. Bob didn't write that song. Cindy did. But you had a lot of crossover in that time period between maybe 37 and like the late 1940s between the popular swing music and the Western and the country music. And a lot of folks don't know this, but, you know, Bill Haley and the Comets, they're one of the original white rock and roll groups. Well,
right.
Bill was originally a Western swing band. And he started out playing Western swing, and what he did eventually morphed into modern rock and roll. So Western swing is really a big part of our American musical heritage. And that's my nerd speech for the day.
No, and that's really helpful. And I know that today there are discussions within Western music about, do we call it swing or Western swing or cowboy swing or cowboy swing jazz, or, you know, what do we name it?
Sure. Well, I suppose you could call it all those things. I think, though, traditionally it is known as Western swing. And, you know, I'm hoping that more folks get to understand what it is and how it's a part of our musical history here in the United States. And it's kind of sad that we don't have a category up at the Grammys.
Yeah.
One can only hope.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, you know, because there are a lot of wonderful bands performing Western swing now around the country, and you've had a few of them on your show, too.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes.
We have.
Some great groups. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to do another song. This was one that I really enjoyed as well. And I think that you're singing on this with, is it Neil Algier?
Neil is our guitar player, yes. And this was his big singing recording debut. He doesn't really sing a lot, but he's quite good.
He's very, very good. Very, very good. And is there anything you want to tell us about this song, how you came to select this one for the CD?
Well, I'm a big fan of Kay Starr, you know, because Kay crossed over genres a lot. She played popular music. She made a big hit with her song Wheel of Fortune, which was a popular tune. She did a lot of swing, big band, and jazz, and she also did some Western. And she recorded this tune with Tennessee Ernie Ford, and I absolutely fell in love with it, which is why I brought it onto the album.
All right, it's
so
a great one.
This is in honor of one of my favorite singers of all time, Kay Starr, who's still with us, by the way. She lives out in Los Angeles somewhere. I wish I could send her a card, but I don't know where to send it to.
Hey, Bobby.
If anybody knows,
Bobby
please
can help
let me know.
You. Bobby can help you out there. So
I bet you Marilyn Cuttle knows her, Gary.
I bet she does. Well, let's listen to this song, and we'll see if we can connect them together sometime after the show. But this is I'll Never Be Free, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas.
Each time I hold somebody new, my arms go cold, aching for you. No one can take your place,
darling, in my embrace.
I'll never be free. And when my lips burn with desire, no other kiss puts out the fire.
Though I may try and try,
no one can satisfy
this longing in me.
I'll never be free from your smile so tender, the sweet surrender in your eyes.
the side, just like a chain bound to my heart. Your love remains when we're apart. Each kiss I gave to you
made me a slave to you.
I'll never be free.
Singer, and when was it that you kind of started crossing over and doing a little country and some Western swing?
Well, I've always loved Western swing and country, and my husband and I, we'd been living in downtown Chicago, and the company that he works for, they're constantly moving us around. They moved us about 40 miles outside of Chicago in northwestern Indiana, and it's not far. You know, we still go downtown for work, but it's a very different it's like night and day leaving Illinois and Chicago and coming into rural Indiana. So I started doing a jobbing gig with a band, a retro country and western swing band. And, you know, I'd had exposure to the music, but I had to learn a lot of tunes. And the band plays here mostly in northwestern Indiana at weddings and parties and barn dances and such. And I just loved the music, and the fellows I play with have been together for about 40 years. They're all up in age now, and that's how I got to learn about the music and all these great old tunes, you know, because a lot of the younger guys don't always do this material, and so it was a really good stroke of luck for me to get the job working with them, and I just love the music. It is so much fun. I love jazz, and I spent quite a long time performing jazz, but I'm so happy to add this music to my repertoire and to be able to perform it. I think that it's a lost part of our American history, and it needs to come back.
Well, I think you're going to be doing your part to help make that happen. And as you're performing it up through Indiana and in Illinois, how's that being received up there?
Well, I'm originally from Erie, Pennsylvania, and as I said, we traveled a lot from my husband's work, and we lived in a lot of different cities. We moved to Chicago 10 years ago, although I did go to college here. I went to DePaul University in the early 90s. I had known the city and known it and learned jazz there. It has never been a big town for country, and so when I announced my idea of recording Western swing, my musicians were interested, and we brought in a couple of country musicians to the group, as well as the jazz fellas that I've been working with. But some of my fans were a little disconcerted in Chicago, and in fact around the country. You know, they said, well, are you changing? Are you going to go to country? Are you going to stop singing jazz? Why are you doing this? Because some folks can be kind of picky about what they want to listen to.
Right.
But when I started putting out little tidbits of the record and they could hear parts of the songs, they realized, you know, that it wasn't that that far off from what I'd been doing as a swing singer. I performed in jazz and swing with big bands and such, and this music is very, very close. And so they kind of relaxed. And it's been nice, though. You know, some folks will say that this is swing, and some folks will say, oh, well, this is cowboy jazz. Like, we just got a great write-up from Downbeat magazine. They gave us 4.5 stars and dubbed the album Cowboy Jazz. So they officially kind of brought us back into the jazz realm, and we're so very grateful. But, you know, we've been embraced by roots radio and country, and also by folk DJs, and we've had wonderful write-ups in many genres. And that just goes to show you the influence that Western swing had on the development of American music. You know, it is sort of a root genre where so many other genres sprouted out from, and so people are beginning to be more accepting of what I'm doing. We're performing at the Jazz Showcase next week in Chicago, which is a straight-ahead jazz room, but they're having us as a traditional Western swing band, and that's how they're booking us, and so far we've got a lot of reservations, and I'm very excited about it. I'm so pleased to be able to reconcile so many genres and having folks get along. And I think it was Duke Ellington who said there's two kinds of music. There's good music and the other kind.
Amen.
So, yes, as long as you're playing it right, you know, people should enjoy it.
Good deal.
Well,
good.
And I think then, and commend you for what you're doing, because we see this in Western music as well. And we sort of have these niche genres, and people don't necessarily, they kind of stay in that genre, but listeners, but when you open the walls up, it's just that they didn't know. And when they hear, it's so refreshing. And it's like, oh, that's not what I, oh, is that what that is? That's not what I thought it was going to be. And,
yes,
you know, we're all trying to develop new audiences and grow the audience. And I think, you know, pushing out those walls a little bit, that's you know, thank you for doing that. Just bringing great music to your audience that's been following you, but showing them something new is wonderful.
Thank you for pointing that out. You know, that is such a great point. I think we've had a lot of exposure in Europe, and we've got a lot of plays like in Europe and in Asia, and also in Australia and New Zealand and Canada. And it doesn't seem that folks in other countries are as eager to genreize or classify us as a specific mm-hmm. thing. I think it's an American characteristic that they want to put you in a niche and make you stay there. You are this, and that's where you belong, and I will always think of you as that, you know. And people, we just got played in Sweden. You know, they just like music.
Right. It must have been marketing somewhere along the line, you know, trying to figure out how to put those dividers between, you know, vinyl and then CDs and music stores, you know.
Yeah.
Like, oh, if you like this, is going to be over here, you know. Somewhere along the line, we got really boxed into these categories, which is not the way music was heard for years, even on the radio. You know, you would hear Frank Sinatra, and then you'd hear somebody else and somebody else. We didn't have this, these niches that we have now.
Well, maybe, you know, it's a, thank you. You made me think. Maybe that is part of when radio syndication came about, because Western swing developed before big radio syndication, and then, you know, you had that happening around World War II. And into the 50s, you had giant, you know, monopolies of radio corporations and then the TV. But probably in the early days, folks weren't so eager to classify things because it was just music. And as bands traveled around the country, you know, they picked up a song here or they picked up a song there. And folks were just glad to hear music as long as it was good. You know, it didn't have to be, you know, this type of country or this exact type of rock. You know, you're probably right. It was the marketers who started that genreizing of music. Oh, my goodness.
We'll blame them for it today anyway.
I think that always happens. We're going to try to get in some more music now, and there's another one called You Can't Break My Heart. And tell us about this one.
This was a song originally written and performed by one of my favorite bands, Spade Cooley. And Spade had a big standard, big band with all the horns and everything. He was just one of the bigger names in Western swing and so much fun. I love doing this tune. We do it as much as we can. I hope your listeners enjoy it.
Well, they're going to, and let's listen to You Can't Break My Heart. We're talking with Susie, and this is Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas.
You can't break my heart, it's been broken before, broken by someone just like you. His eyes used to shine when they looked into mine, but dimmed when he found someone new. If you only knew the troubles I've been through, then I guess you'd understand that you can't break my heart. It's been broken before, broken by someone just like you.
Is about, you know, broken heart or whatever, isn't it just fun? I mean, you can't kind of be in a bad mood. It just makes you smile.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people mention that. They're like, wow, this music is fun. You know, you go to a jazz concert and we will perform a very intense Billy Strayhorn arrangement. And it's, you know, down to the, you know, last breath of what you're going to do and where you're going to do it. And this Western swing thing, people just let it rip. And it's, you know, folks aren't sitting there on the edge of their seats listening to every chord change. They're just having fun.
Just having fun. It kind of reminds me, this is going to be a very strange analogy, but just indulge me for a moment. Years ago when I was on staff at the Autry Museum, we had a phenomenal exhibit on the history of pottery and dishware. And one of the most popular things in the exhibit was the colorful dishware by Bauer and later on the Fiesta Pottery Company. And one of the thoughts was that in the Depression years and then into World War II and all, no matter what kind of day you were having, if you looked at bright, colorful pottery in your kitchen, you couldn't have a bad day.
That's a good point. It's the same thing with music. Yeah, during World War II and the Depression, yeah.
Yeah, and I whenever I listen to swing, I kind of think about that exhibit and, And I have a number of pieces of Bauer pottery from that show that we sold in the store at that time. And, you know, no matter what's going on here, I look at those beautiful, the red and the orange and the green, and, you know, you mix and match it. And it's like, oh, it's like a musical composition.
You're right. That's a wonderful point. A lot of the music and even a lot of, you know, the popular art and advertisements, everything was designed to try to cheer people up and lift their spirits.
Yeah, and music certainly touches our souls that way, doesn't it?
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And so let's see.
As we go through these difficult political and economic times right now, perhaps it's a good time for Western swing to come back to cheer people up.
It is. Well, here's one that cheers me up because it reminds me of what I have to have first thing in the morning, and that's my coffee. let's tell us a little bit about Cigarette and Coffee Blues.
Well, my grandfather, who was a truck driver, loved old country music, and when I was a child back in the early 70s, he used to play this radio station back home called WWGO in Erie, Pennsylvania, and they played all this retro country music from the 1950s, and every morning he'd get up, and if I'd be sleeping over at Grandma's house, you know, we'd get up and have eggs, and they'd have their coffee and cigarettes, because they both smoked, what was it, Chesterfields? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That was back in the early 70s, before everybody knew about lung cancer. And they would turn on WWGO, and we'd be hearing Lefty Frizzell and Gene Shepherd and so many of the great old singers, and that's why I recorded this song. I know it's not traditional Western swing, but it's so much fun. And Lefty kind of wrote it around the same time Western swing was popular. So.
Well, it is a great song. So this is Cigarette and Coffee Blues with Susie Blue on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
And I won't go to bed at all. I just lay there and weep. Instead, I'll make our favorite spot. That's what I think I'll do. I got those smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee blues. Smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee all night long. Wondering how a love so right could suddenly go wrong. I'd grab the next bus out of town, but I gotta be near you. I got those smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee blues. Sitting at a table where my baby carved our name. Wondering how our love went wrong. Wondering who's to blame. Listening while the jukebox plays the songs that make me blue. Another cup of coffee and a cigarette or two. Smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee all night long. Wondering how a love so right could suddenly go wrong. A lot of other people know the miseries I go through. I got those smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee blues. suddenly go wrong. A lot of other people know the miseries I go through. I got those smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee blues.
Cigarette and coffee blues, and that is that's the way everybody should start up in the morning, at least with a coffee. At least with a coffee. Well, you have another favorite artist, and we want to do another one of the songs right now from the CD, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. This is Love is a Lingering Thing. This thing is going wild in Europe, isn't it?
Well, we were very lucky to have a feature on BBC Radio with Marie Crighton Country, and this was the song that she chose, and oddly enough, a lot of folks really like this song, and I recorded it because it was written by Cyndi Walker, and she had recorded it for her 1944 album, but it never really got popular. I don't think anybody other than me and Cyndi have ever recorded it, but folks
wow.
are really picking up on it now. It is a wonderful song, great lyrics, and Cyndi was such a wonderful writer, and there's great soloing on it by T.C. Furlong, who's my pedal steel player, and Stuart Rosenberg, who's our fiddle player here in Chicago.
All right, so let's take a listen to Love is a Lingering Thing with Susie Blue.
I've still got that feeling, that old lonesome feeling, that just the thought of you can bring. I've still got that yearning, that old hungry yearning, love is lingering thing. How long must I cry over you though you're gone? How long must this love in my heart linger on? I still got that feeling, that old lonesome feeling. Oh, how the memory of you clings.
CD without wanting to get up and dance a little bit, and I guess that's what it's supposed to do.
Well, our aim was to cheer people up. You can't get depressed and listen to this music.
You can't take
it too seriously either. You just have to enjoy it.
Well, it is great. You've done a great job, and the album is Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. And what's next for you?
Well, we're working on our next record. We don't have the budget yet. We're still paying off the first one, but we're working on the next one. We got all the songs lined up. We're going to do some Kitty Wells material next, but we probably won't have that out for another year. So, and we're performing here in the Chicago area, and hopefully we'll get some tours set up for the United States and maybe even Great Britain next year, but we don't have any of that yet. We have new babies being born to folks in the band, and people having neck surgeries and things, and so we're a little slow on getting the tours set up, but we're hoping.
Well, that's great. They'll love you. They'll love you over in Europe, and so that'll be great. And they're going to love you out in the Western states, picking up on this new CD. And we want to do what we can to help pay for this this one, so you can go ahead and make the next one. So, how can we find you and get your music?
Oh, thank you for asking. We are on CD Baby, on iTunes, on Amazon. Those are the big ones. And then there's a bunch of little carriers as well. I'm not sure. But I think that iTunes and Amazon are probably the most reliable sources. It seems that folks want to buy MP3s these days and not necessarily the hard copy of the CD. But I'm also a graphic artist and an illustrator, and I did the artwork for the album cover and on the CD. So if you buy the actual CD, I'm very proud of it.
Well, you did a great
job. And I do believe you should buy the whole album, because a performer has picked those tracks. There's a reason they hang together, and that's just my feeling. Buy the whole album.
Thank you. An album tells a story. We put the songs in a certain order because it does give a theme and a story to what we're trying to tell folks. And I'm so grateful that you buy anything, but if you can buy the whole album and listen to it from top to bottom, it's a real treat for any artist to listen to their music that way.
You will enjoy the CD. And what's your website?
Folks can find me at SusieBlueLonesomeFellas.com. It was so long I didn't put the and in the middle. SusieBlueLonesomeFellas.com. You can find me on Facebook as Solitaire Miles or as Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas. And I'm also on Flickr and on YouTube and on Instagram and all those other neat little things. I also have a website, solitairemiles.com, but that's mostly dedicated to my jazz because I still do perform jazz. If you want to hear the new album, go to susiebluelonesomefellas.com.
All right. So for those of us that like all genres of music, visit all those websites and visit them. And Susie, you've been a great guest, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
Do you know what chuck wagon racing is?
You know, I grew up in Pennsylvania and spent most of my life up north, so I would imagine that it's some sort of wagon racing.
It is an extreme wagon race, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with Reggie Little, the fellow that has put all this together, and they've got a great event, a great week coming up down at Loretta Lynn's Ranch, just west of Nashville. And so when we come back, we'll talk with Reggie on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And Susie, we're going to close the show out today with Ghost Riders in the Sky. And by the way, if you have not seen her video, you need to take a look at it. And it's a great one, but a great version of this song. And Susie, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you so much for having us, or having me, and featuring our album. We're so pleased and honored to be on your show.
We're glad to have you. Hey, when you come back the next time, and I hope you will, we're going to have to find out how the name came about for the Lonesome Fellas. But let's save that one, okay?
Okay.
All right, this is Ghost Riders in the Sky. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
An old cowboy went riding out one dark and windy day. On a ridge he rested as he went along his way, when all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a plowing through the ragged sky and up a cloudy draw. Yippee-yi-yay! Shiny, and the hot breath he could feel. A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered in the sky. He saw the riders coming hard and heard their mournful cry. Yippee-yi-yay! Trying to catch catch that devil's herd across these endless skies. Yippee-yay! Yippee-yay! Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yo-ki, yippee-yi-yo-ki, 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 yippee-yi-yo-ki.
Up about what chuck wagon racing is, and I know Susie, being a Pennsylvania girl and a Chicago girl, is just waiting to find out all about chuck wagon races, and this is the man that can tell us. Reggie Little, how you doing?
Fine, Gary. How are you this morning?
Doing well, doing well.
Good.
And we've got our co-host, Miss Bobby Jean Bell from California, on the line with us, and I know she wants to know about chuck wagon racing, so we're going to have a lot to talk about. We'll have a lot to talk about. But, you know, Reggie, we had Will Roer, general manager of Loretta Lynn's, on our Tuesday show, and so we found out a lot of great information about Loretta Lynn's that I didn't know. And we want to find out a little bit about you and how chuck wagon racing is and how this came about to be the event that's coming up down at Loretta Lynn's. So first of all, tell us a little bit about you, and I know you have put on a couple of these before in other states. Tell us about how you got involved with that.
Well, Gary, I went to the first national finals. Of course, I've always been a big fan of everything Western, and I know some of the audience probably remembers the old Roy Rogers and Gene Autry and some of those old movies with the runaway wagons and the stagecoaches and robbers. And anyway, some of those guys through the years got together and kind of formed a competition and started racing those wagons against each other. And then Mr. Dan Oaf, back 30 years ago, they had a little race over in Clinton, Arkansas. I think they had 16 show up.
Wow.
And this year was their 30th year, and they had 30,000 people over 8,000 equines. And I think 150-something teams, and those are teams that had to qualify to get there. So, and that's what we do. We put on qualifying races where you can qualify to get to Clinton out there to the national finals.
Right, right,
but
right.
But that's kind of how the races came about.
Well, now you've done a couple down in Alabama, haven't you?
Sure, yeah, we do one every year at Seven Springs in Alabama. We've done a third one this spring in May, and it's been a real success there. We're excited about having that one again in the spring.
Okay. Well, now tell us what chuck wagon racing is. I mean, kind of you've got different categories.
Got different divisions.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what those divisions are and what these guys are going to be doing, and gals.
Well, you've got the, I think the first race every time is the Oklahoma Land Rush. I'm sure most everybody should know what that was back in the day. They gave away free land in Oklahoma, and all the wagons lined up and horses, and they fired the gun, and people raced to find land and claim their stake their claim on that piece of land.
Right.
And that's kind of where the land rush came up with. So we do one of those, and each wagon has an outrider that runs with them, and run about four or five at a time on those, and it's pretty exciting. It's just a straightaway, kind of like a drag race.
Okay.
And then you've got some cut-down wagons that are built for speed, and then we run different size, like a 56-inch pony and a, I think it's 52-inch pony and a 52-inch mule. They're two different divisions. And then we run big mules and four-up mules, where you have four mules to the wagon instead of just two. And then we have a buckboard division, which is kind of like a lot of the, what the old movie deals were, you know, the buckboards.
Right.
The runaway deals with the buckboards. And then also we have the what they call the classics, which are the old Conestoga wagons, the big 1,000-pound wagons. They race, and that's real exciting. So.
Well, when you were talking about that Oklahoma land rush, I know when I watch some of the old Westerns on TV, and they're doing that, everybody wasn't always playing fair. Now,
no,
do they play? Do they play fair? Do they play fair at this one?
Well, they play fair. That's in the rules. They do play fair, but now it's dog eat dog and hair in the air. That's for sure. Excitement level. I mean, it's really electric in the air. Nothing to see a wagon flip or you know somebody fall out of the wagon and the horses run off. It's pretty exciting. And then
well,
we have a lot of fill-in stuff, too, in between the races. You know, we do a bronc fanning, which is the riders don't get judged on necessarily like you do at a regular bronc riding. They get judged on how hard they fan that horse with their hat while he's bucking.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And that's real exciting. And he just bucks out in the middle of it. We don't really have him in the arena. And then we have a mounted mule race and shooting exposition there. We're going to have the mounted wagon shooting there. We'll have a Snowy River race, which we call the Coal Miners Express. It's kind of an extreme race. And all this is packaged into one big show, Gary, and I tell you, it's a lot of bang for your buck.
Well, and, let's talk just a little bit about the dates. The dates for that are October the 27th through November the 1st.
That's right.
And so you've got, I think that you have posted maybe on your Facebook page an event schedule of all of the different things that are going on. But, you know, Loretta Lynn's is known for a lot of different things down there. Bobby Jean, they've got a huge museum down there. And they have the old Hurricane Mills post office that's still operating down there. And,
yeah, they've got a great website for the Loretta Lynn Ranch. Just wonderful. I really had no idea. And, you know, on that website, girl, I like to go on there just like our listeners and learn more. It's a great website.
Yeah. It was really interesting when Will was on the show Tuesday. He was telling us that when they drove by that ranch down there or the house, Loretta said, I'd like to have that as my Tara. And so Mooney checked on it and wanted to find out if it could be bought, and the guy said, yeah, but you got to buy the town of Hurricane Mills and 1,200 acres to go with it. So, and he did. So that's just a little west of Nashville and just off of I-40, very easy to get to out there.
And something maybe y'all don't know, I don't feel told you not, but it is Tennessee's largest campground. I think they have.
Yeah.
It is Tennessee's largest campground. That's some awesome cabins and great hookups there, and a great, really a great venue. A lot of stores, the museum, and the Western store, and the boutiques, and it's just a lot to do and see there.
It is a lot
on top
to
of
do.
The races. You know, the races are just really ice cream.
In honor of the upcoming, you know, Halloween period, you'll want to go to the website and read about the museum called the Haunted Plantation. And I won't tell you anymore. Go check it out.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the different events that are going on and some of the activities and concerts. But we want to talk a little bit in just a minute about the schedule of things that are happening. And there's a whole lot more than chuck wagon races that are going on down there, but let's take a real quick break. Let's listen to one, and I think this kind of ties in with that bronc fanning you were talking about, Reggie.
And, there you go.
Yeah, this is a song called Luck of the Draw by Eli Barcy, and I'm just going to kind of plug an event that's coming up tomorrow night in Franklin, Tennessee at Terra Springs Ranch. And Canadian recording artist, an award-winning gal, and a great talent is going to be at Terra Springs. So you can visit Terra Springs Ranch to make reservations for that. But it's going to be a big time, and you can meet Eli herself. But this is the Luck of the Draw, and we'll be right back. And we're going to find out more about what's going on and some of the spooky stuff that's happening down there at the Loretta Lynn Chuckwagon Race.
Dark turns to dawn, and the highway rolls on to a town in the valley below. We may stop to eat, a few hours of sleep, then off to the next road.
October the 27th through the November the 1st, And let's talk a little bit, Reggie, about everything that they're going to see. I mean, you know, there's going to be some trail riding. There's a whole lot of stuff happening down there.
It's going to be trail rides, Gary, almost every day. In fact, there will be guided trail rides every day. Anybody that wants to get on a guided ride, or you can ride, get a map and ride the trails, you know, at your convenience. And then on Friday, we're going to have a big organized wagon train. It's going to leave out from the ranch and take about a 15-mile tour around through the countryside, the back roads and all, and then come back into the ranch about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon.
Okay.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it'll yeah. be a, really a lot of fun. We're expecting a big group of wagons to show up for that.
Well, how far away do you have people coming, Reggie? Because this is your first event, and
we've got
we have
one lady coming from Oregon. We've got two people coming from Canada, and then probably every state in the Southeast, I think, will be represented. A lady from Pennsylvania, I think, coming. We'll be pretty well represented, you know, all in the Southeast.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's to me, that's pretty amazing for this to be the very first year that you've done this. And, you know, it's a great location. And of course, I kind of compare chuck wagon racing to drag racing, you know, or NASCAR.
Uh-huh.
People like to see if there's going to be any wrecks out there. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, people don't ever want to see anybody get hurt but or
right.
wrecked or anything. But if it's going to happen, they want to be there. So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
kind of
yeah.
the way it works. But
So
there's a lot of action, a lot of wrecks, you know, bumps and flip overs. But there's a lot of safety measures taken too.
Well, that's good. Got to keep livestock.
Can I ask a quick question about the chuck wagon racing part of this event? That's actual. Are these actual chuck wagons, Reggie, like, you know, would have been used or maybe still are used? And are they fully loaded, you know, like they would have been during the trail drives when the cookie and his chuck wagon would have had the chuck box, you know, and everything? Or is it so it's like a real chuck wagon that's racing against
the
chuck wagon?
Yeah, it's the classic division is the old-timey, real Conestoga chuck wagon, you know, like went on the cattle drives and that was cooked out of, and it was their main, you know, kind of like their motorhome of today. But each wagon must have a cook, and the cook must throw the stove in the wagon. Of course, the stove is not an actual stove. It's a box, but they fire the gun.
Yeah.
The cook's on the ground. He throws the stove up in the wagon and jumps in. And it's kind of like it's a hair in the air right away. But
is it horses or mules that he's driving?
Most of the classics do all have horses. There
horses.
Is a division for big mules, but they're pulling a different
right.
type wagon. The
and
two,
is it
the
a team or how
are,
many on the wagon?
Are the what now?
How many horses are pulling the wagon?
In most instances, just two, but we have a four-up division. If there are four horses, you know, it's two and two,
right.
and what they call a four-up. But
I know it's a huge chuck wagon racing. It's a huge event at Calgary Stampede. I mean, it's just huge.
Big
crazy.
At Calgary, and it's big at the Cheyenne as well. And
yeah.
And it's been going on in Clinton, you know, for 30 years. You know, it's not a new sport by any means. But it's
right.
new to Loretta's,
right.
and there are a lot of race fans out there, a lot of chuck wagon race fans, you know, east of the Mississippi, and that's what we're doing is trying to bring it a little closer home to them where they don't have to travel.
So fun.
Yeah. Well, now in addition to the activities that are going on during the day that are equine-related, we do want to mention that you can go canoeing and swimming down there. They've got some great swimming holes and some places to do a little canoeing and stuff. But there's a little shopping for people to do, too, in there, Reggie.
Sure. You've got a boutique there and next to the museum. Then you've got a Western store. You've got a general store, and you've got a gift shop. You've got a couple of snack shops and just a lot to shop and do there. And then our vendors coming in, man, we've got a group of vendors that I'm so humble and thankful to have coming. But we're half, probably half of the vendors there, the nationals every year, coming for us. And we've got all kinds of tack vendors and the leather makers and chap makers and chink makers and, you know, actual craftsmen that will be there making, doing their leather work there on site. And of course, we have some great vendors there with bringing barbecue and the different kinds of foods. And we'll have fairs there on site to you know, to shoe your horses if they need shoeing. We've got the one lady that brings just strictly sweets. She does a kind of exotic sweets deal, you know, cakes and cookies.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. And we've got a silversmith that'll be there. She does actual silver work. And Spur Life will be there. Kim Hamilton with Custom Cowhide Creation, she'll be there. Paige Witt does Western Art. She'll be there with her painted skulls and doing paintings, painting right there at the deal.
Well, I know you guys.
Designs,
I know you,
just to mention
Yeah. So you're going to have everything from jewelry to leather work to tack to just about anything that is attractive to the Western fan.
We got Buckaroo Hatters are coming. The Buckaroo Hatters do all the do a lot of hats for the movies, the old Westerns.
Right.
And they'll be there shaping hats, cleaning hats, and you order a new felt hat, and they'll create one custom just for you. They'll be on site there, and I'm real excited to have them come.
Yeah, I mean, if you're like me, you need somebody to fit a hat to your head. So that's not a bad
that's
thing.
Right. That's exactly right.
Not a bad thing. Well, in addition to all the great vendors that you've got and all the excitement of there are a lot of different divisions in the chuck wagon race. So there's going to be a lot of excitement there that's going on. But and how many days of chuck wagon racing will there be actually?
Two actual days of chuck wagon racing, but that'll be Saturday and Sunday. But on Friday we'll have extreme bale racing and team penning and team sorting.
Okay,
we'll be there on Thursday and Friday before the Saturday and Sunday races, and then we'll also Thursday night we have Clayton Boaz coming in from Texas with his band. They're really good. And on Friday night, we've got the Kentucky Linemen coming with Brian Randall, and they're really good. And then the big deal is Saturday night, we've got Taylor Lynn, who is Loretta's granddaughter, and she is something else. She's putting on a high-energy show there for us, and we're excited about getting to see her as well.
Well, that's great. And I bet you might even see Loretta wandering around some down there. She lives.
Be surprised to see her stick her head in.
She's
feeling good and everything's weather's right and all. She very well could show up.
All right. Now let me ask this. Now is the camping part of it, is that sold out already?
All the hookups, the actual electrical hookups, which are about 380 something, I think. Are already reserved. We've got 30-something cabins, I think, or 20 to 30 cabins. They're all reserved. And but there's plenty of room there. They have motocross there every year, which you have 15,000 people show up for, and they handle that crowd no problem. And we've got room to count 5,000 people.
Okay.
If they want to come and bring their trailers and generators and set up camp, we can handle it.
All right, so there's plenty of room to still get out there and camp. And then, of course, if people just want to come out for the day, they can come do that as well, can't they? Or get a wristband for the week?
Come for the day. Bring your lawn chairs. Get a day band, a day pass, or you can get an event pass, either one. And but if you want to come for the day, come for the day. Bring your lawn chairs. We'll have shuttles running back and forth from different places. You can park and you can take one of the shuttles to go over to Western Town where the museum is, or you can get shuttled down to the racetrack, or you pretty well walk up there to the pavilion where all the bands and everything will be. So it's set up nice, for everybody's comfort and convenience.
Well, it's going to be a great event. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, a lot of great shopping, and a lot of great entertainment. And that's coming up down at Loretta Lynn's Ranch, October the 27th through November the 1st. And, Reggie, where is the best place to get information and the full schedule of what's happening?
Best place, best thing to do is go to Facebook, to Loretta Lynn Ranch, Chuck Wagon Races, Spring Ride, and Camp Out.
Okay.
And that's our event page, and you can click on there, and it'll give you, it covers pictures of the whole place, and event schedules on there. Just a little bit, anything you need to know really is there.
Okay. All right. So it is going to be a great event, a one-of-a-kind event in Tennessee and maybe in the Southeast. And so, Reggie, Will said you did a pretty good job putting this together.
Well, I do the best I can to be old, man.
Oh, gosh. Well, I'm going to try to sneak down there at least for a day, and I got a whole lot of friends that are coming down for the whole event. So maybe
good.
We'll get a chance
Tina May's
to see
coming.
Tina May's coming, and
yeah.
Jenny's going to be there, and Marty Luffman's
right.
coming, and Trudy Midas coming out of Michigan is going to be down there.
Right,
so a lot
Trudy's
of folks
coming.
Down there. So it's going to be a big time. But anyway,
don't
we
miss
appreciate
it. All I can tell anybody listening is if you've ever been to anything you can go to and have the best time of your life, I mean, you will enjoy this. If you enjoy the outside and you enjoy the horses and you enjoy the cowboy life, you will have a ball here.
All right. So go down to the Loretta Lynn Ranch October 27th through November 1st. Stay for all of it or part. And be sure and look Reggie Little up. I'm sure he won't be busy at all down there. So.
Oh, no. Just
have. Reggie, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
Gary, you're a great guy, and I appreciate you.
All right. And don't go away, because there's a lot more on Equestrian Legacy Radio when we come back.
Get your gear together. Can you hear that prairie song? The winds of change are whispering. It's time to move along. That pony in the pasture's growing lazy and fat. There's something out there calling you, just don't know where it's at. You've got a rambling, restless bone inside, so ride, cowboy, ride. Throw your saddle over, son, and draw the cinch up tight. Fill up those saddlebags with rub and ride into the night. There's trails that you ain't ridden yet and places you ain't seen. There's beauty over yonder like most men can only dream. If you don't find it, it won't be cause you ain't tried. Ride, cowboy, ride. Ride over the mountain just to see the other side. Ride down into the valley where the river's flowing wide. Ride out into the desert, hear the coyote's lonely song. But your shadow at your side. Ride, cowboy, bottom lonely, well, just know you're not alone. When the world is closing in and you're longing to be free, pack away your troubles and come right along with me. Till your heart soars like the eagle when she flies. Ride, cowboy, ride. Ride over the mountain just to see the other side. Coyote's lonely song. Stare up into the night sky and try to sing.
doing down at Loretta Lynn's in just a couple more weeks, Bobby.
Yes, they'll be riding and hopefully staying in those wagons.
Well, I've seen some video, but I've never actually seen that. But that looks like an exciting event taking place down there.
Well, you know, another event that they're going to have that we didn't talk about, and it looks like it even does have a championship final, the title at the end of the weekend, is mechanical bull riding.
Yeah, they are going to be doing a little mechanical bull riding down there. So that ought to be a hoot. That should be.
I think so. And there's going to be trophy buckles even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, a big time down there. We appreciate Reggie getting on and telling us more about what's happening October the 27th through November the 1st at Loretta Lynn's Ranch in Hurricane Mills, Tennessee, just west of Nashville, about 7 miles off of I-40. So real easy to get to that. And what a joy and a pleasure it was to have Susie Blue, Solitaire Miles, on the show today. Isn't she a neat lady?
That was really, really fun. Really fun.
Yeah. So anyway, go out and pick up her CD, Susie Blue and the Lonesome Fellas, and we'll have Susie come back and tell us how she came up with that name, how they got to be such lonesome fellas. But anyway, it was a fun show, a lot of exciting things happening everywhere, and we always like to bring those things to our audience and make them aware, and it's a lot of fun, Bobby, to introduce new artists to our audience as well as new music when it comes out. So I enjoy that.
Absolutely. And I'd like to just take a moment and give a shout out to Rick Huff of the Western Music Association that recently wrote about Gary Holt and Equestrian Legacy Radio in the most current magazine put out by Western Music Association called Western Way. And Rick writes a column called Western Air. And congratulations, Mr. Holt, for being promoted in this most recent issue. I was so excited to see it listed there.
Well, thanks. I appreciate Rick doing that. And, of course, it's you and Belinda and Tina May that make our shows so much fun, coupled with all of our great guests. And so we appreciate that article that Rick did. So I haven't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing that. But
we'll get a couple copies out to you, yeah.
All right, sounds good. Well, I want to remind folks again about that Eli Barcy, a good friend of ours, was on the show last week, and an award-winning Canadian artist is going to be in Franklin, Tennessee tomorrow night. And she'll be doing a house concert at the beautiful, beautiful Terra Springs Ranch in Franklin, Tennessee that starts at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be looking for our friends to show up. But if you need to make arrangements, and they're asked for RSVP in advance on that, if you could, visit TerraSpringsRanch.com, and you can connect and make your reservations for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. She and her husband, John, put on a great show, as you know, Bobby.
Absolutely. You don't want to miss this.
Yeah, so it's a good opportunity to see Eli performing close to home for a lot of us that haven't had the opportunity to do that. And we also want to thank again our sponsors in the general store, where you're going to find everything that you want for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle, as well as the Christmas shop. And do your shopping online. That's where most people like to shop today. They don't have to get out in all the traffic and the crowds. and you can buy everything that you're looking for, from jewelry to clothes to tack to, you know, you name it. If it's something that you love for the Western lifestyle, don't have to be a horse person. You'll still find something that you want for Christmas or to give someone. And you can visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And I'm about done for the day. I know that you've got a final thought for us.
I do have a final thought for us. I thought it would be fun to kind of look for some Loretta Lynn quotes to end our day with. And I found, of course, more than one because she's just so much fun and she's been around for such a long time. Here's a couple of my favorites. There's more women stars in Nashville all the time. They're proving they can do the job as same as a man. I love people and I love to sing, and that's what keeps me going. And I think this speaks for all of us. I've been around a long time, and life still has a lot of surprises for me, and probably for you too, Gary.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, I think Will told me the other day that she still does about 56 tour dates during the year. And so
what a star,
what a legend she is. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun today. And always a joy to have you with us, Bobby, on the Campfire Cafe. And, you know, I've got to mention, this Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, you want to announce who our guest is on that show?
Sure. You are, what fun this is going to be. You have Cheryl Rogers Barnett as Belinda's guest on the show. We've had the privilege of working with Cheryl many times as a participating author in our Buckaroo Bookshop. She is the daughter of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and she's just delightful and full of stories. And what fun. And a woman of great faith. You're going to have a great time. You don't want to miss this show.
No, that'll be a good show. So all of our Roy and Dale fans out there, if you want to hear some great stories and inside information, be sure and tune in at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning to Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And her special guest is Cheryl Rogers Barnett. And then on our Tuesday show, it's always a lot of fun when we talk with some of the experts in trail riding and visit some wonderful guest ranches and campgrounds across North America. And always a lot of good music on that show, too. So that's on Tuesdays at noon on Saddle Up America, part of our one of our great shows that we do. Well, anyway, it's been a fun show. Beautiful weather. People get out and enjoy it. Ride your horse. Spend time with your family. Tell the folks that you love them while you can. And we want to remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And we're going to close the show out today with a great song from the Sawdust Brothers called Anywhere. Thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Get on down the track. True love left a hole. She ain't coming back. Get on down the road. Get on down the line. I don't care where we go. Anywhere is fine. Watch out where you're going, don't worry where you've been.
Get on down the road, get on down the line. Don't care where we go, anywhere it's fine. Get on down the road, get on down the line. Don't care where we go, anywhere it's fine. Thank you.
Southeast Catahoula, everywhere is home.
So get on down the road, get on down the line. Don't care where we go, anywhere is fine. Get on down the road, get on down the track. True love left the hole, she ain't coming back. Get on down the road, get on down the line. Don't care where we go, anywhere is fine. I don't care where we go.